coming up on this week's mini episode.
Unresolved trauma leads to more trauma. Just like if you walk on a broken bone, if you walk on a broken ankle, the fracture gets worse.
Community and relationships are everything to me. Great relationships start with solid, straightforward, and loving communication. One of the most game-changing experiences in my life to support better relationships is couples therapy. Even though a lot of people view couples therapy as a last resort intervention, I actually view it as an integral first step in creating a solid foundation for a super strong relationship. In fact, many experts actually consider better communication as integral to our health as nutrition, exercise, and sleep. Now, my fiance and I, soon to be wife, have been seeing a therapist since the start of our relationship, and I believe it's helped us thrive as a couple. In fact, I know it's helped us thrive as a couple. We found someone who was committed to helping us increase positive communication, mutual respect, intimacy, and providing us with tools to use in everyday life. I'm such an advocate of therapy and couples therapy, which is why I love BetterHelp. The past year has been so challenging for so many, and BetterHelp allows us to get affordable counseling anytime from anywhere in the world. They will actually match you with a licensed professional therapist based on your unique needs, and you can do all the sessions online from the comfort of your own home. It's super convenient and super powerful. You can actually start communicating with a counselor in under 48 hours, and then you can send them a message at any time to schedule weekly video or phone consultations. They have so many different specialties for whatever your needs are. But if you're in a relationship, just remember, and the data supports this, it's never too late or too early to start couples counseling. As a listener of my podcast, you can get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/Drew. That's better, BETTER, help, HELP.com/Drew. It's spelled funny, DHRU. Get the support and help you need. Check out BetterHelp today. My friend and business partner, Dr. Mark Hyman, told me sleep is probably the most underrated pillar of health. Without proper sleep, we can do everything else right and still struggle with chronic ailments like fatigue, mitochondrial dysfunction, blood sugar problems, hormonal imbalances, and so much more. So basically, your sleep is a lot more important than you think, and that's why we talk about it on this podcast so much. So part of getting quality sleep is setting up the right environment. For me, this means two things: temperature regulation and avoiding toxic chemicals at night. We spend so much time in our beds, 26 years to be exact, so why not invest in the highest quality bedding? So I recently started using bamboo sheets from Cozy Earth, and it's a game changer. For one, these sheets help regulate temperature. Huge. One of the biggest tips of all the top sleep experts that they'll share with you is that you have to make sure your sleep environment is cool. Studies actually show that sleeping in cooler temperatures leads to deeper, more restorative sleep. Here's the thing. Have you ever tried to sleep when it's super hot? It's pretty much impossible. I also love that I can trust Cozy Earth because their bedding is free of harmful chemicals. When I learned how many harmful compounds are lurking in sheets, blankets, and duvets, I upgraded to Cozy Earth and my sleep was wildly better for it. Did I also mention that they're the most comfortable sheets I've ever used? So right now, Cozy Earth is offering my audience 40% off. That's 40% off. Just head over to CozyEarth.com and use the discount code Drew40. That's Cozy, CozyEarth, CozyEarth.com, and use the code DHRU40. I definitely recommend checking out their super comfortable bamboo sheets and upgrading your sleep today. Hi everyone, Drew Prode here. It's a part of the human condition to run away from pain. Most of us have habits that we've acquired as a way to cope with painful childhood experiences or traumas, which unfortunately don't serve us as adults. These habits can manifest as addictions in a wide variety of forms, from substance abuse to overworking, shopping, sex addiction, and so much more. My guests on today's mini episode, Dr. Omid Naeem and Dr. Gabor Mate, talk to us about why society is so sick and what is contributing to the epidemic of mental health and chronic health conditions. My first guest, Dr. Omid Naeem, is the founder of Hope Integrative Psychiatry, a multimodal approach from whole person transformation and healing. He's also the founder of the nonprofit, the LaMeda Project, which designs new models for families, communities, and organizations to become ecosystems of optimal health and well-being based on our innate human nature. Let's listen in, starting with Dr. Omid Naeem. Like, when you look at society today, do you feel that most of what people are going through is some version of childhood trauma?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one precedes the next. Like, we're living in a progressively more dysregulated way, right? If 50 years ago, in the 50s, we reduced the number of eyes that a child experiences looking out for them. If in the 80s, it became okay for the two people running the village to walk away, if in the 90s and early 2000s, then that one parent or two parents might be looking at their phone half the time that you're around as a child growing up, we're challenging our nervous systems to self-regulate in more and more diminished experiences. So trauma doesn't have to be somebody physically abusing me, although that's a lot of it. It's also just high levels of adversity in childhood, set in early childhood. Let's start there. If it's in the first 2 to 3 years, that's when the brain, especially the brainstem, which is where the fight or flight stress response system, so we talk about inflammation on probably, you know, a lot of your podcasts, you know, we talk about the stress response and that's what ignites inflammation. Well, that all comes from the brainstem, not in the higher thinking part of our brain. Fight or flight is in the brainstem, and that's still developing up until the age of three. In those first 3 years, if the environment is not regulated, if the environment is not moderately, predictably, rhythmically stressful, we need stress to grow, but we need stress in the kinds of predictable rhythms, right? I can track my mom's coming and going. I can track my dad's coming and going. That alters the brainstem. It sensitizes it, right? So it sensitizes it where dysregulation, chaos is actually what I need to pay attention to. I need to be able to thrive, which means I should stay on edge. It's kind of like you can say the brainstem is like the government organizations that are managing the pandemic, right? If numbers of cases of COVID are going up, we go from yellow, you know, we go from green to orange to yellow to red, right? So we respond to regulate the threat. A healthy brainstem is doing the same. It's sensing the internal environment and the external environment, and ideally, when there's a threat, it mounts a response. Well, if it's chaotic, then it's better to be on edge. It makes sense to actually never relax. If day-to-day life is chaotic, it's better to not actually relax because that's not survival. That's not the best for our survival. So then the brainstem becomes naturally just sensitized. Now, that person needs threat then to feel safe because it's not in response to a situation anymore. It's just how my body rolls. It's how my body functions.
We're used to the chaos. We need the chaos regularly in our life to feel normal.
Right. And so that, I think, is why we're on this spiral of going faster and faster. That's why I think the biggest addiction is actually workaholism. That's why we are happy to have technology that lets us, you know, respond to emails in bed at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. We need dopamine. We need that dopamine hit partly because that's how we feel at peace, right? Many people just can't sit still anymore. So I think that there's a low grade level of I think that there's a lot more people suffering even and have societal sanctioned ways of regulating a dysregulated nervous system. And but to go back to your core question, you know, is childhood trauma, because I think there's a lot of important points to make there. Like, yes, it is. And the subsequent years, more trauma happens to the person who hasn't healed the original trauma. So the effect of trauma is to be in a chronic state of either overactivation, which is what we've been talking about, but also underactivation. So we have fight or flight, but we also have a third mechanism. It's called freeze, also called immobile. When you hear the words like, you know, I went through something and they say, shake it off. The freeze response is literally we play dead or we withdraw inward. If we're not in a situation that we can run or fight, the best solution is to actually withdraw inward and either prepare to be injured or if our systems turn inward, if we dissociate from our bodies, we can withstand more pain. We release high levels of endorphins in those situations. We can stay stuck in that state. A child growing up in an environment that's chaotic or threatening can't run and can't fight because they depend on that caregiver. So that dissociative, immobile, freeze state is something that we can stay stuck in, right? And that makes us numb, more compliant, more submissive, disconnected from our ability to mount a fight or flight response. So that person is the one who then goes into school and is more easily targeted. That's the person who in high school may not make, get into sports, get into things that, you know, would help their mental health and physical health thrive. That's the person who in an organization, in a corporation, in an institution, takes on the, you know, absorbs bullying or mistreatment. So trauma, unresolved trauma leads to more trauma. Just like if you walk on a broken bone, if you walk on a broken ankle, the fracture gets worse.
My next guest, Dr. Gabor Mate, is a retired physician who, after 20 years of family practice and palliative care, worked for over a decade in Vancouver's downtown East Side with patients challenged by drug addiction and mental illness. Dr. Mate is the best-selling author of 4 books published in over 25 different languages and is an internationally renowned speaker, highly sought after for his expertise on addiction, childhood trauma, childhood development, and the relationship of stress on illness. In this episode, Dr. Mate talks to us about how painful experiences or trauma is at the center of all addictions and most chronic health conditions, and most importantly, how to work through trauma to find our truest selves, the part of us that is not broken. Let's listen in. You always ask the question, which is, it's not about the addiction, but why the pain? Yeah. Not why the addiction, but why the pain? And I think that is a central question that we can, if we just look outside in this world, we can see that that question is not being asked when it comes to thinking about either traditional quote-unquote addictions. For those listening, I'm putting that in quotes because there's so much more of a broad band of addictions, but even all the other things that we don't see as traditional addictions that truly are.
Well, exactly. And you know, this is called the Broken Brain Podcast. Well, then you get depressed because you've been pushing down your feelings, or you compensate for your pain by getting addicted to heroin, or you compensate for your lack of value by becoming a workaholic. Or you compensate for your sense of not being wanted by becoming a habitual sexaholic, you know? And then they tell you, there's something wrong with your brain. There's a brain disease going on. No, these are all compensations. And yes, they affect the brain, but it's not an illness that started in the brain. It's how your brain responded to life circumstances, to the pain of life. And the brain is actually shaped by life experience. So really, it's people's experience we have to look at. Why the pain? And that's the question, not only in addiction, although it certainly applies there, but in so many human conditions.
Even physical conditions. You know, we've had so many different experts in integrative and functional medicine and leading researchers in cancer. And now the new view on cancer is that cancer is not this thing that attacks the body, but it actually is a survival mechanism. Our healthy cells that are trying to survive a diseased, a diseased environment that they're being placed in. So really, the idea that so much of we think of what is wrong with us, physical ailments, personality traits, compensations, addictions, are, as you said, survival mechanisms. It's action, reaction. When we understand that, we're left with the truth of now we can actually move forward.
Well, let's see, what would I say about cancer? So lots of studies. I'm just writing a new book, so I just reviewed the vast literature on this. So women who've got symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder have double the risk of ovarian cancer. Children who are abused in general have a higher risk of inflammatory diseases, autoimmune diseases, and cancer. And I could go on and on and on and on. The cancer, I wouldn't say directly, is a survival mechanism, but it's a product of the body's response to lifelong stress and trauma. And for example, we talk about people pleasing, and a lot of people who develop cancer have got this tendency to suppress their feelings. That suppression of feelings also suppresses the immune system, because the immune system is not separated from your emotional system. It's all one system. So then you get cancer because your immunity has been diminished. Now, what does the cancer do? Well, the cancer threatens your life. It really does. I mean, physically, it really threatens your life. And of course, often it takes your life, which is true. But what's also true is that for a lot of people that I've talked with, the cancer functions as a wake-up call and says, boy, you have not been paying attention, have you? You've not been paying attention to your own needs. You've not been paying attention to who you really are. So in that certain sense, no, I don't recommend this way of learning. I don't recommend cancer to anybody. But once it shows up, I've known so many people to whom it's been a teaching experience. In a real sense, it was a cause of rebirth of their true selves. And this has been studied. I'm not just talking airy-fairy stuff here. You know, this has been studied. And if you look at, there's a couple of books I could mention. In fact, you might want to have these people on your podcast. One of them is called Cured by Dr. Jeffrey Rediger, who's a physician and psychiatrist at Harvard. And Cured is his book where they looked at people with so-called spontaneous remissions, people who, despite the failure of medical treatment or despite the fact that they refuse medical treatment and they're supposed to die, instead their cancer goes away. And medical science doesn't study these things very much. Like, it's interesting. I talk with these people who've survived like that, and the doctors never know what they did. But what they did is, in every case, transform their relationship to themselves. They became much more authentically themselves, and that made a difference to their malignancy. Now, I'm not talking about panaceas or cure-alls. I'm just saying that when the healing happens, it has to do with a deep connection to yourself that was cut off when you were small. The cancer woke you up and you reconnected to yourself. And I've seen this in autoimmune disease and multiple sclerosis, even in ALS, which is said to be universally terminal, but they're actually people who survived it and who've even recovered from it. You know, and in every case, it has to do with the transformation of the relationship to themselves. And Rediger is not the only one to have studied this. Other people have as well, and they've published the same kind of findings. And in my own personal research, how people authentically people are able to be themselves instead of identifying with all those mechanisms that you identified in yourself, the people pleasing and all that. Are they just going to be themselves? That is a huge impact on their health and illness. Again, not that I recommend it, very often comes along and says, friend, wake up. Wake up. The life you've been living is not your life.
When it comes to reversing chronic disease, it's not just about what food we put in our body. It's also what energy we're putting into our body, how we heal our traumas, and most importantly, the inner work that we do that gives us a greater sense of peace. Thanks for tuning into this week's mini episode of the Drew Perrott Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would appreciate it if you would share it with someone who could benefit from it. As you were listening, was there someone's life you thought of that could be improved by hearing this information? If you did, send this episode to them. You could completely make their day, or better yet, change their life. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next week.